He said, pardon me for being so bold, but you got a cigarette that's already rolled. I gave him one. He lit it in his own good time. The smoke in that pool room hung like fog. When he talked, he sounded like a growling dog. He said, would you care for a dollar on the 5 and the 9? Now this man was ugly and his eyes were mean. His clothes were dirty, but his hands were clean. He held that stick like a mother holds the hand of a child. Well, I've been known to hustle a few. When the waitress said, is he playing you? And I said, yeah. Bring me brandy, water bottle. Little Red Parker was away in the back, taking quarters and handling racks. And I told him, Red, come up here. Glue him up tight. That brandy had me feeling warm. I tipped that waitress and I checked her form. And I said, honey, you like a winner? And she just smiled. I played like a man with a broken wrist. I won 2 and he won 6. And I had him set up, so I said, let's play for 5. By this time, a crowd had gathered around to see this fish and just watch him drown. I told that waitress, more brandy, water bottle. Then he went out and got a custom cue. He said, it's no offense to you, but I don't play off the wall with nobody but brands. It had gold initials and a leather grip, pearl and silver inlaid tip. He smiled at me and said, why don't we play for 10? Well, I've never seen a man that walked who made those balls and table talk. They're speaking English. He sure didn't need my help. He broke the balls and kept that string for $187 in a ring until I gave up and said, friend, you're going to have to play by yourself. Well, he sacked it up and he walked outside. I strolled out just to watch him ride. There was a blonde and a caddy built like the rest of that car. The boys in the pool room, they had them laugh. I hung it up and just let it pass. Didn't have a thing but my elbows to put on the bar. And the waitress smiled and said, water by. I took the charity and I thanked her twice. Sitting there sipping and suddenly I had me a thought. Unlucky gambler and lucky in love. Guess you know what I was thinking of. When I said, waitress, honey, what time do you get off?
Well, how about that, girlie? You go with me. Well, I think that was Dave Dudley and the Pool Shark. I'm not quite sure whether that was Dave Dudley or not, but that was a good song about, hey, you better stay out of pool unless you know how to hustle big time. And that's one game that old Tommy, terrible Tommy, never mastered and sort of stayed away from that. This is War Radio. War Radio calling. War Radio, P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. Our email address is warmetzger@aol.com. Our big website is resist.com. And there you're going to find all kinds of goodies, articles in the history of war, and you name it, and videos, and audios, and, oh man, there's so much stuff up there, I can't believe it. And you can pay if you'd like to order some of those goodies up there, flags, rings, and all that kind of stuff. We got them. You can pay for them by PayPal, and you can pay for them by check, and you can pay for them by money order, or you can pay for them by cash. And if you're ordering from outside the country, please use American funds. And it's a little tough when you send us euros. So anyhow, that's a good thing, and you can send those checks and money orders to John Metzger. That's J-O-H-N Metzger. Yes, you do that, and that'll make us real happy. Well, the actual date of this show, we're going to put a date on it. Yeah, this is June the 10th, 2004. So when they dig this up out of the ruins of North America in 50 years or 100 years, they'll say, what the hell was that? Them damn spacemen must have come down and ate all the niggers. We can't even find a nigger skeleton around here. So, but I guess this is what was going on back then. And boy, it's a good thing old terrible Tommy left a time capsule there in his bunker. Now, if you want to call in on our 24/7 telephone line, our Aryan Update line, that's 760-723-8996. And you can leave your questions or your comments or your bitches or your gripes or your slaps on the back there, but don't leave your name, don't leave your address, personal information on that line, and you know why I'm telling you that, boys, because you never know who out there is climbing up my telephone pole, putting earphones on and listening. Well, one of our good old associates out there, down on Texas way, actually, he donated us some brand new Lightning in the Sun CDs by Savitri Devi. And all you boys out there, order these things, and I think you'll like them. And that'll be a $15 donation to WAR to get a DVD, CD. Wait a minute, is it a DVD or a CD? Well, I'm not quite sure, but I got a whole bunch of them here, and you can donate $15, and I'll send one out to you real quick. Now, you know everything we send out inside the United States is postage paid. Now, how about that? Yes, it is. Now, when you're over there in Europe, and we're going to send it airmail, because slowboat to Europe is just about as much money as sending airmail, then there's going to be about 25% of the gross order for postage. Yeah, it's expensive, but airmail, you get it real fast. But inside the United States, you get it post paid, and that's a good deal. Now, pretty soon, we're going to have all our Race and Reason shows on DVD, so get ready for that. Yeah, I would say just another couple of weeks, maybe. We're going to have these Race and Reason shows put up on DVD. How about that? So you can get in touch with us if you're looking for those. What do you mean, if you're looking for those? I know you're looking for those. You better be looking for those. We got a couple of hundred shows. And we're even talking about starting the old Race and Reason TV show up again. What do you think about that? Now, I've got a few. I've got about 10 or 15 sieges left. The hardbound book Siege by James Mason. So you better get them while they're hot. And I think we ought to have about $25 for one of those. If you want to, I'll autograph it for you. And we'll go from there. And we've got some of those nitroglycerin books left, too. So if you'll send an order of, say, over $40 or so, let's make it $50. I'll give you one of those big old 400-page college textbooks on nitroglycerin. I'll give it to you free. Still got some left, but when they're gone, they're gone. And once they're gone, you're going to have to watch TV to learn all about nitroglycerin, and I don't think that's such a good idea. Well, we haven't done a show for a couple of weeks. Dr. Kaldenberg has been out on the town. I'm not quite sure where he's been, but we're going to talk to him. He's coming into the studio pretty quick, and we'll interrogate him. Well, here he is, the one and only Dr. Wyatt Kaldenberg, the knower of all what he thinks is truth.
Goddamn right.
Hey, man, we missed a week, didn't we? Or two weeks, huh?
Yeah, gave people a break.
Yeah, and you were out meandering around, man.
Yeah, cruising around.
Did you do anything really illegal?
No.
No? Well, no. You wouldn't tell me if you did, would you?
No, I wouldn't.
Because you're a lone wolf, huh?
That's true.
Yeah. And you went up north.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to say where, but it's not far from Buck Owens' house.
That's true.
Yeah. And how was things up there?
Oh, pretty good. Actually, I got lost on Buck Owens Drive.
Oh, man, I think probably, Buck likes to drink or used to.
Yeah.
He'd probably get lost on Buck Owens Drive.
Well, the thing is, they just named it. When I was a kid there growing up, there was no such thing as Buck Owens Drive, so I thought it was like a different street than I couldn't, it was a business thing with all these cul-de-sacs, and I was like, what the hell?
You mean they have defiled Buck Owens Street?
No, they put it in there. It used not to be Buck Owens
Drive. I know, but then they put all these rinky-dink strip malls in there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. That's terrible. That's terrible. And I saw Buck Owens on not long ago on a documentary about what's that country singer a few years ago was so hot that he played in a cup, Dwight Yoakam.
Yoakam, yeah.
And Buck Owens liked him,
yeah.
And they used to sing together once in a while.
Huh.
That Dwight Yoakam's a good actor.
Yeah, Buck Owens used to have a studio in Oildale. He had a radio station, a recording studio.
Yeah, I saw Dwight Yoakam in a movie, a Western movie.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a damn good movie. Do you know what happened to that movie? They pulled the financing out of that movie in the middle of the shooting.
Uh-huh.
They had a hell of a time.
Bridget Fonda, yeah. Dwight Yoakam, and was it Billy Bob Thornton or somebody like that? Somebody else?
Yeah, he was in it, and the movie bombed.
Yeah.
Well, it bombed because they didn't give it any distribution.
Yeah.
But it was a really good movie, I thought.
What was it called, like East, From East to West?
Something like that.
That's
I don't know. And, you know, old Billy Bob Thornton was real good in that.
Yeah.
Remember that long-haired guy?
Yeah.
Looked like an old buffalo hunter.
Yeah
man. Sometimes these critics, they say the movie's no good. And I go, look, Day After Tomorrow, I liked that movie. That was really a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, that's a terrible movie, and it's not exactly factual. Well, what the hell are you talking about?
Oh, you know, it's funny, talking about factual. I just, you know, I saw the movie, and I went, and I saw a copy of Scientific America. You know, it's a kind of a lead pop science magazine. They had an article about that, asking scientists about it. And the scientists basically said that the reason it wasn't accurate, it says that that ice ages, when they come in a matter of years, not in a matter of hours. And you know,
well, they didn't have years to run the movie.
Yeah, I know. That's what they said. That's the director. And also the scientists, they said that actually that we are in a period of global warming. We've been in a period of global warming for 12,000 years. And they said that an ice ages last 250,000 years. And that a warm period like we're in usually only lasts 10,000. And they say that we are running 2,000 years too long. And they said that actually our pollution is probably the only thing that's preventing an ice age from returning, because he said that the ice age was normal.
And wait a minute, you're telling me that I gotta pollute?
You gotta pollute
to keep life?
To keep the ice age away. Actually, we stop
that's
polluting.
That's a capitalist propaganda, man.
Actually, ice age would be good, because if an ice age came, that's where that's what created the white race. You know, we're the ice people.
Yeah,
so
the
ice age came, you know, it'd fuck up all these niggers. Cause
and all these niggerized whites, because...
Oh, yeah.
80-90% of the white people would go down the tube too.
Oh yeah, because you know, like a lot of the Neanderthal men and stuff were cannibals, and they're really, really savages. So that's how they survived the ice age.
It's called urban renewal.
Oh yeah,
that's a hemispheric renewal.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Okay. Well, the one problem with the movie was here was the scientist's son got caught in New York, and he's way down south someplace.
Yeah.
You saw the movie?
Oh yeah,
yeah. And so he's going to go through this literal hell to reach his son. And it's a wonder they both didn't die.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the sun was pretty sharp, though.
Well, that was kind of funny, though, because the big thing in the movie is if all these people left New York and walked in the snow, they would die because it got so cold. But then the scientist, since he's a scientist, he had no problem walking up there.
Well, he was the genius.
Yeah.
He was a genius.
Yeah, and so some of the moments, even like that moment where the guy was walking on top of a shopping mall and the glass broke and he hung the rope. And, like, right in the middle of the side, he says, he's going to do the heroic thing. He's going to cut the rope. He's going to fall down and get killed. What does he know he does? You know, some of those are just cliches in there, you know.
Very predictable.
Yeah.
Very
But, you know, the disaster. You know, one thing I loved is the complete destruction of Los Angeles.
Oh, wait a minute. I was going to say that. No, you can say, you say Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
And I'll say New York.
New York.
Oh, I did that in the post office someplace downtown.
Yeah.
I was talking. I said, boy, I love that movie. And they said, why'd you like that movie? I said, because L.A. and New York got wiped out. Boy, about 30 people were looking at me like, well, don't make it mad. Don't make him mad.
But you know what's good about L.A. is a lot of those landmarks Well,
right there where that Capitol Records building was. That's in the heart of Hebetown.
Well,
business-wise.
You know, basically that's where we used to have our Odinist meetings not too far from there. You know, I didn't know
you guys were Hebes.
No. You know, Hollywood and Vine, you know, where the Walk of Stars and stuff.
Odinist meeting at Hollywood and Vine.
Half a block up, you know, where the original Fredericks of Hollywood was,
Andre. Yeah.
We were about like a half a block up from that.
Well, that's why you're meeting there. After the meeting, you'd go down and look in the window.
Yeah,
huh?
You're damn right.
Yeah, I get there slobbering all over the damn window. Yeah, man. Well, hell, I knew that you guys had Odinist meetings in some odd places.
Yeah.
Hardly ever in the woods like a real Norseman.
Not a whole lot of woods.
I remember one I went to, and we had a meeting there, and in the backyard's about the size of this office. And, and old Tom Padgett, the co-host, he was doing the thing, the ceremony.
Oh, that was in the Boner's house.
Yeah, and then the Boner took me on a ride on a BSA motorcycle.
Yeah.
He was doing about 100 miles an hour down Van Nuys Boulevard. Uh-huh. I thought I was going to die, man.
That's what they call him, the bugger.
Well, then they're going to run us out of there. Wasn't it the neighbor wanted to run us out of there?
Yeah.
Well, hell, I'd have run us out, too.
There was what we were doing.
He said, what the hell are those people over there with all those furs on their head?
We had some interesting. So we had one Odinist meeting. I forget what part of L.A. it was, where somebody got lad because we were late at night, and they stuck a shotgun over them. We just kind of stuck a shotgun to give us the notion to shut up. And there's one we had it in, what was it, Woodland Hills, which is kind of a rich Jew area, Ziggy's house, and one of the neighbors stuck his nose over the fence. We had a punk rock. You remember Opie took a rock and hit the guy in the head, told him to go the fuck back in his house.
Oh, wow. Now that's a real Odinist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a real Odinist. Well, how many flaming swastikas we're going to give for that Day After Tomorrow movie?
Special effects, I'd give it a 5.
Oh, yeah, special effects of 5.
If you're talking about the plot, I'd give it a 1.
Now, wait a minute. That niggeroo that was married to the blonde gal with the half-breed kid froze to death. That's got to be worth another. We ought to give it a 6.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the guy that was sort of cool?
Ooh.
Was the nigger vagrant. The guy living on the street.
Yeah.
He knew how to live out of the garbage can.
Oh, yeah,
all these whites are, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So, he knew how to survive. Anyhow,
some of the things that bothered me, was like the political correctness and how they said that the Third World was welcoming all these people from the North.
Oh,
all that bullshit.
And
the thing is, if something like that happened, the hell if they would have opened it up. We can't even own land in Mexico.
Hey, let me tell you something,
we don't have money. We're not welcome.
Let me tell you something, buddy. If these millions of people had to flee the United States right now, they would march over Mexico like it was a piece of banana peeling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, because if they were really desperate, these people, they got it, but they're sedated with materialism, but they're almost worse than if they weren't, because once they turn, for some reason, like you shut the gas off, these people are going to go nuts.
Yeah.
They'll kill anything in sight. Yeah. I believe that. I believe the people today are more violent under the skin than they were 100 years ago.
Oh, really?
At least they were more out in the open back in the old days. But these people, it's like taking candy from a baby.
Yeah.
You know what a fit.
Oh, yeah.
And you take a new car, you take their gasoline away from them.
These
people are going to go nuts. And I dare any nigger, anybody stand up against. Of course, the niggers, they'll be blowing the whites away.
Yeah, well,
the whites will get the message real fast. But I would see a million white people marching across the Rio Grande side by side with guns.
Mm-hmm.
It wipe out Mexico.
Well, that is kind of a good point, because like 100 years ago, people always had this Christian notion of, they have to be proper and be their place in society. And all the white people now are so self-centered and egotistical. If anything went wrong, the only thing they would give a fuck about is me, and they'd just go wild.
Absolutely.
That's kind of an ironic point, because the same thing that's basically killing our race right now, if anything went wrong, it'd probably save us, the selfishness of white people.
It could be. I have been thinking about that lately and saying, man, every time they raise the gas prices, you can see it in the people's eyes, man. There is super hostility everywhere I go. These people have a fuse. And if something happened, if that Al-Qaeda, like I said, wiped out one or two refineries.
Could you imagine, I was talking about this, Jim, could you imagine if half of this stuff that the Bush administration is talking about, these 7 guys that may, hit with a nuclear bomb or germ or gas, can you imagine if they nuked L.A.? What damage it would, and it would just be basically the end of so-called the New World Order. If L.A. went up, everybody would go wild.
Oh,
One building wrecked the economy for a year and a half. Can you imagine what a whole a major city like L.A., which is actually the capital of the Third World, if it just all of a sudden evaporated?
It'd break up into tribal warfare, and the government couldn't do a thing about it.
Because the economy would just go to shit instantly overnight. Because it wouldn't be so much the damage, it would be the people's panic.
Well, they don't. See, the point is, I've always said, I don't understand. They don't need nuclear bombs.
Mm.
I mean, they need trucks full of propane and stuff like that. I mean, do you realize what a semi-load of propane would do if it went off down in among those big, tall buildings? Jesus, it'd be like an atomic bomb.
Oh, yeah, I saw one in the Grapevine once when I was in, Arvin. It was a wreck of a gas tanker, and that thing, you could even see it from Arvin, which is probably about 60 miles away. It looked like a nuclear bomb, like a mushroom cloud. The thing just went up.
Well, you can't even, that's why I'm convinced there's no Al-Qaeda. skate around.
Yeah.
Or they're they're just not doing. If they wanted to do anything in this country, they'd have done it a long time ago. So the only reason they're raising hell is to take our freedom away.
Oh yeah. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
On both parts, on the Al Qaeda's part and the government's part. You know, because I think 9/11 was just one of those flukes. It was like a Timothy McVeigh thing. It's like a fluke in history. It's
right.
You know, everybody's saying, oh, all these co-conspirators and McVeigh, there's got to be a network. How can you know? The reason it happened is because it was just a fluke, just like 9/11 was a fluke.
It's amazing the government didn't go along with it, though, that it was a big conspiracy, like they've gone along with some of the other conspiracies, you know. If they'd have blown up that conspiracy like they do the Kennedy conspiracy and stuff, you can imagine what that would have done.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Wow.
I saw Harry Potter and the Prisoner, and it was a damn good movie because it.
Did you take your lollipop with you?
No, but it taught kids the occult, and it's very anti-Christian. Give them a new worldview, and it's done by it's not done by Christopher Columbus. It's done by this Mexican guy that did that one. Y Madre Two.
Christopher Columbus.
Yeah, Chris Columbus is the first two.
Which one was that? 1492?
No, he's a different Columbus.
Oh, okay.
Well, anyway, it's done by a Mexican, and the movie's supposed to be allegorical.
A Mexican?
He's a leftist, and it's allegorical for the Bush administration, the Patriot Act. So it's,
it is?
Yeah, well, it's about this guy who gets thrown in this torturous prison, really without a fair trial, and he's innocent. And really, they do all kinds of bizarre torture to him.
This is a Harry Potter movie?
Yeah. And Harry Potter helps him escape prison, and it fakes his death, and he takes off.
So my kids invited me to that, and all my grandkids were going to be there, and I was going to go to it, and I was trying to sell a car, and, stupid me, this Mexican was supposed to come around, and, Mexican's word is worth nothing.
Yeah.
And he didn't even show up, so I missed the movie and everything. Mm-hmm. That'll teach me.
Oh, you should have saw it, because it was really good, because actually, very anti-government, and it encourages kids to help convicts escape, because they're basically innocent, and they're actually the true revolutionaries, and the authorities are the bastards.
Well, that's not on DVD yet.
Oh, no, it's fresh in the movie.
Oh, well, I might go see that. Well, how many flaming cross... how many flaming swastikas?
How many... How what's the max?
Well, I think five.
Five, yeah, because I think it's just as good as The Wizard of Oz. Plus, like I say, it's a cult. They even talk about... They're having runic classes, and they talk about the runes. Mm-hmm. They basically show you that there's, the justice system is a bunch of shit, and the kids should help convicts escape.
Well, I gotta go see that movie then.
So I liked it.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Now, that's pretty cool. We give two movies this show, five flaming swastikas, and the first one, plus one. That's six.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And I'll tell you, I saw a good movie last night. What's These that? People must think that's all we do is watch movies. But believe me, there's a lot of good stuff you can pick up from movies. Yeah. A lot of people don't realize that. If they watch them right and pick out little things here and there. Okay, North Fork. Have you ever heard of that one? That was one of these off-the-wall movies.
Uh-huh.
It had, here we go. Nick Nolte and James Woods and a bunch of people were in it. And it's a weird movie. It's about this area up in Montana, and they're building this giant water dam and hydroelectric installation. Then they got these guys like Men in Black. There's about 10 of them, and they go out, and there's 65 families they got to move out of the way before they let the water loose.
Oh, yeah.
And these guys look like the Blues Brothers. They're not funny like that, but it is dark humor. This whole movie is dark, really weird. One guy builds an ark out in the middle of this thing, and he don't want to leave. And there's some really strange stuff in this thing.
Is that on DVD or?
And James Wood is real good, and Nick Nolte plays a priest. Does a great job, you know. Now people are going to say they're going to get this movie. And they said, "Boy, that terrible Tommy has some weird taste, don't he?" But it was really good.
Yeah.
Called North Fork.
Yeah.
And I'd give North Fork a 5 too. I'm getting liberal.
Is this in the same vein? Remember Brazil?
Yeah, sort of. Not quite as extreme, but it's they play the color way down where you just see a little color, but it's almost black and white.
Huh.
And it's funny because they give these guys all, they've got all new Ford cars, black cars. Yeah. It's back in 52. Yeah. And the guy gets a little rock, hits his fender, and he gets a little deal, and they all go bananas. Mike, it'll never be the same.
Yeah.
And, well, anyhow, you got to see the movie because the dark humor is...
You saw Fish, right?
Big Fish.
Big Fish,
a real good movie. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I'd give that at least a 4, maybe a 5.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm liberal as hell today. Wow. Oh, you know what I liked really about North Fork?
What?
There wasn't one Mexican, one gook, or one nigga in the whole movie.
Whoa.
Everybody was white.
Whoa.
So that's the way I like them. Yeah. Well, I got to take off tomorrow, Dr. Kallenberg, mm-hmm. because I got to go to church and get down on my knees and pray for Ronnie. The soul of Ronnie, and believe me, his soul needs a lot of praying. If hell and heaven are true, he's in big trouble.
Is he risen from the grave yet? I mean, the way they're going at him, he sounds like the second.
You know, it's almost amusing, but it's sad. People are so stupid. There's thousands of people mm-hmm. going through the building. He's not in that box.
Yeah.
You can't do that to a body.
Well, that's what I was thinking. He'd be pretty rotten.
Jeez, you know? Even if they had him on ice, yeah. I mean, they're all praying around an empty box. Now, they're standing in line for 10 or 12 hours.
Oh, yeah.
These people have no idea the history of Ronald Reagan. You know, the media who hated Ronald Reagan, well, no, they didn't. I forgot. He signed a law
mm-hmm.
to where it raised the value of every radio and TV station double.
Yeah.
So they really took it easy on him.
Oh, yeah, and plus he opened up the borders. It wasn't for him.
Oh, man, there's a million things, you know, and all that Grenada crap, you know.
Yeah, and bringing in the cocaine, you know, from Contra, you know, guns for drugs, so bringing all the cocaine in the United States so he could fight the communists who threatened the American corporations in South America.
Well, who shipped all the weapons to Saddam Hussein?
Yeah.
So there's a million people died in that war with Iran.
And Osama bin Laden. You know, Osama bin Laden got, over $1 billion to fight the Russians in Afghan.
So, I mean, I could go on for a whole day. You know, Reagan raised the taxes, tripled the, he raised the taxes higher than any other governor
destroyed
of California.
The labor
See,
unions.
I knew him from way back because I worked before he became governor. I knew him when he was going around flirting with the Birch Society, mm-hmm. but he wouldn't become a member.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a front group called the TAC committees,
mm-hmm.
and they talked about unfair taxes stuff, and Reagan would come to those. So that's the first time I met him.
Mm-hmm.
Then I worked in his campaign headquarters in Manhattan Beach, California. And I'm telling you, by the time he got halfway through his governorship, I wouldn't have voted for him if they'd have given me $1,000. Because he put more non-whites in the California government than any governor had before.
Yeah.
He said that if they'd have needed to, he would have he would put black kids in the school with bayonets in the army.
Yeah.
When he got to Washington, he signed the bill making Martin Luther King Day the holiday. And here's all the Klan were voting for him.
Oh, yeah.
And I was running the Klan in California, and I was against him. And the Klan, they were all upset with me, the right-wingers. They're always a day late and a dollar short. And they're all pissed off because Tommy wasn't backing Reagan. I said, I ain't backing him because he's not our man.
Yeah.
I mean, he was so... He was loaning money to Israel way back. There's a big article I put on the internet about how much he loved the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the first neocon.
Yeah.
That's where the neocon started.
Exactly.
If you'll read the book by my friend Ken Stefkin, here's the rest of him, which was a response to Reagan's book that he wrote called Where's the Rest of Me?
Mm-hmm.
It's about baseball. Anyhow, here's the rest of it. He was extreme left-wing liberal.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, they remake him, and he's really a neocon.
Well, he was a Marxist in the 40s, in the 50s, he was running the Screen Actors Guild. And then he turned all his communist comrades into the Un-American Activities Committee.
Yeah, he ratted on all of them.
And he was like a spokesman for Chesterfield Cigarettes. And all these white trash people in trailers that looked up to him and loved him, and you know all the movies and Death Valley Days and stuff. They go, boy, if Ronnie smokes Chesterfield, so are we.
Now, he tripled the national debt.
Yeah.
He tripled the national debt, and most of that money didn't go into the infrastructure. It went into the military-industrial complex, and guess what? He takes credit for communism falling. That's nonsense.
Yeah.
The capitalists raised the bet. The Russians couldn't raise the bet. They couldn't call the bet. They economically collapsed.
Yeah.
If Russia would have wanted to start with their military, they had a plenty powerful military, they could have probably kicked our ass or come close to it. But that whole thing about him tear down this wall, all this was orchestrated. It was all set up ahead of time. Gorbachev's over here making $1 million a year, yeah. $2 million, living on Park Avenue. Yeah. I mean, come on, give me a break. The masses are so stupid.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and they have no excuse because all this information's... I mean, I could go on about what a rat Ronald Reagan was for years. You know, and they call in on the radio late at night and they're talking about how great Ronald Reagan was. And luckily, there's some liberal guys up in Frisco that really give him hell.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, he was such a moral man. And the guy says, yeah, he was banging Nancy when he was still married to Jane Wyman. Mm-hmm. When Nancy went up the aisle, she was pregnant with his kid when they got married. All this stuff. And that whole family's weird, you know. The one boy I was on his TV show once.
Michael Reagan?
The one that's the dancer.
Oh, that's Ronald Reagan,
yeah.
Jr.
I would say this. He treated me better.
He's a ballet dancer.
He treated me better than a lot of the others did, but I had a feeling he was a little light in the loafer.
Well, how many guys are ballet dancers?
Well, yeah, but there are a lot of Russians, too, stuff like that.
Oh,
yeah,
he's not a Russian.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But Michael is such a... he is another big asshole. Yeah. Another neocon, you know, and the right wing radio. I'm telling you, it's day for days. I haven't been able to hardly turn on the radio.
Oh, God.
I'm so sick of hearing this
crap.
You know,
yeah.
And so anyhow, I comment.
You know what the interesting thing is? I was watching the, you know, I get LA TV, and I was watching the TV up there, and a huge part of the people going to the Reagan are wetbacks and niggers.
Yeah.
And that's funny. Well, you know, they got good reason, too, you know, because he opened the borders.
Well, that's
true. I can understand why the Mexicans like him.
That's true. Well, he made Martin Luther King a national holiday.
Yeah, so I can see how the niggers like him.
So, no, I think there's a lot of people just get into that thing. When some big shot dies or movie star dies, they just they worship these people, and they sort of worship, and then they die, and then the press starts all this big deal.
Oh, like I remember when Kennedy... Before Kennedy got assassinated, I was just a little kid, but everybody hated Kennedy. I mean, people were saying that they wanted him dead and stuff, and they were going on and on. The minute he got shot, he became a saint. Same way with Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people hated Martin Luther King. I had an English teacher who used to go on and on about Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
And once he died, I mean, she became his shining star. Well, she loved Martin Luther
King. Which proves one thing. All you have to do is get killed and everybody will love you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You think if somebody shot me, they'd all love me?
Probably better than they do now. They would say nice things about you.
I ain't going to bet on that. I ain't going to bet on that.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is if Bush is down in the polls now, if he committed suicide, I wonder, I bet you anything that he'd become more popular and he'd have a better chance of getting elected if he was dead. And when he was alive, because people love a dead man.
Well, that's true. Even your enemies, because you're out of the way.
Oh, you can't say anything bad about him.
Well, I wonder what the New Orleans Protocol thinks about all this. You know, I'll bet you anything. I think that, well, that's plastic man's deal.
Yeah.
I'll bet you most of them love Ronald Reagan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they call themselves the right wing.
The right wing, yeah. And they know what Ronnie really wanted to do, but he was sort of... You know what he did in California? He had Edwin Meese, who was his attorney general, develop Operation Garden Plot. Did you ever hear about that? Operation Garden Plot was the forerunner to the Patriot Act.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for emergencies and handling crowds and all that kind of stuff. And guess what? When Ronnie went to Washington and made Meese his attorney general up there, guess where they first used Operation Garden Plot? At Wounded Knee against the Indians, you see. Now, it could have been the Klan, the Nazis, could have been anybody. But they said they pulled out this Operation Garden Plot. I got whole files on that Operation Garden Plot. In other words, these neocons were talking about dictatorship-type deals way back.
Oh, yeah.
This just didn't start.
Yeah.
But everything, like I say, he was your prototype neocon, and all these guys were with him. They're up there now. Rumsfeld, all those guys.
Ronald Reagan was the father of the New World Order.
Yeah.
He's the base. You know, Bush was his vice president. You know, Bush is the one that, you know, named it, even though the dollar bill says it in Latin.
Yeah.
But he was the one that named it, but Bush was the one that created it. You know, I mean, Reagan was the one that created it, but Bush basically was just a continuation of the Reagan administration. Same with this Bush right here. He's a continuation of the Reagan administration.
And guess what, too, Ronald Reagan did? Something no other president ever did.
What?
He went to the stock exchange on Wall Street.
Uh-huh.
He was a guest on the podium, and he was there twice.
Yeah.
He was sending a message... to the big boys and the transnational corporations that he was their man.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the corruption in during the 80s financially, if it and there's books around about it, was greater than under the Grant administration after the Civil War.
Yeah.
I mean, the corruption among the corporations and the banks were absolutely right. They were all making a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
The poor people weren't making any money. But they loved it, man. All the speculators, real estate people, all the stockbrokers, they loved old Ronnie.
Oh, yeah.
And the TV stations, because he doubled the value of their...
Everybody that, you know, now they got cheap labor, the farmers, everybody that went to cheap Mexican labor loving, because he opened the floodgates to them. So all the businesses, they get to hire all these illegal aliens and foreigners and stuff for a lot cheaper than they would white people, so they all love him.
And Bush's, guess what he did the other day while you were out of town?
What?
If you'd have been at your post, he might not have done that.
Oh.
He's letting all the Mexican truckers now go all over the United States. He took all the barriers away. So here comes, you know, in Mexico, you can pay a guy off and get your driver's license. Yeah.
That's how you get a license. You know, well, I was talking to a Mexican woman, and she was talking about driver's license. She said, in Mexico, to get a driver's license, you don't take any kind of test at all. You pay a fee. Basically,
yeah.
You pay a bribe, and then you get the license, the truck driver, car license, and that's it. You take absolutely no driver's test or anything.
Well, what do you think is going to happen when these bald-tired boys start running over these politicians and stuff on the highway? I hope every one of these politicians gets wiped out on a highway, run over by a Mexican truck.
You know, the good angle that we could use now that a white guy can basically go to Mexico, pay the fee, get a Mexican driver's license, truck driver's license.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to school or take any tests, and you can drive anywhere around the United States and be a truck driver on a Mexican driver's license. You don't even know how to put it in gear.
I wonder how many ragheads are going to get a Mexican driver's license.
Yeah, bring nukes up to the border.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you. Well, worse is better. You know, worse is better. Now, people question me all the time. Are you sure of that, Tom? Are you sure worse is better? Well, for now, it's better, because there's nothing we're going to do. You know, they're building a damn apartment building here in this little town for wetbacks.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to build it. Now, this weekend, they're going to have a big meeting in town at the local VFW hall about how come there's so much crime in this area of town. I lived in this area of town for 36 years. You know, they're going to have it from 8 in the morning to 5 at night. Well, I'm going down there with my La Migra shirt on, and I'm going to say, look, it ain't going to take me 5 minutes to tell you what's wrong here. They had a street here in town that was only about a block long, and it was a dead end, running past the slumlord places with the apartments. And this is where all the gangbangers live. They built hundreds of thousands of dollars in sidewalks up that street just so the gangbangers don't have to walk on the street.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, if you'll contract me for half of what you pay for that sidewalk, I'll clean this neighborhood up in a week. And I'm going to the meeting and tell them.
Yeah.
And they're going to try to throw me out of the meeting. But I'll tell you, they ain't going to get me thrown out, because I'm going to do it. And I'm taking a whole bunch of people with me, too.
Oh, you know, it's funny about... Remember before Ronnie rolled a 7?
Yeah.
Remember how that Enron thing came, all those tapes and stuff, about
right.
All those Enron guys talking about... You know, the old ladies consume, you know, if they don't like the heat and dine in the heat, they were laughing and they were talking about all the crooked stuff they were doing to make the prices up. You know, that would have been the major story that would have sunk Bush, but Reagan just so happened to kick a bucket in time, and now it's, you know, you don't hear a word of it.
Oh, you haven't heard any for a lot of days about how many guys are getting killed in Iraq.
Oh, yeah, that too, yeah.
It was like Iraq disappeared off the map.
Yeah,
he's pushing this big time, and here are the Democrats. They're too cowardly to come out and say...
What's funny is Bill Clinton wanted to speak at Ronald's funeral, and the story is that Bush wouldn't let him or Kerry speak.
Can you imagine when Clinton would die, what the Republicans would do?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, no matter what, you know, we're not so hot about the Clintons, but you know what they would do? They would vilify him like wouldn't believe.
Oh, yeah.
And Hillary was a... blah, 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 blah. They would, and he did this and he did that. The Republicans wouldn't hold back if Clinton got if Clinton died.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, these Republicans, they're pretty shifty bunch.
Oh yeah.
They're pretty shifty bunch. Well, you know what I've been recommended to the Democrats, but they ain't listening to me.
What?
Kerry's got to have a hot shot vice president running with him. You know who it's got to be?
Who?
Dean. Dean is the only guy that's got the balls and got the pizzazz to carry things for Kerry.
I was thinking of a hot chick.
A hot chick?
Yeah.
Well, which hot chick?
Oh, any woman's good looking.
Well,
how about that Charlize Theron? Sharon, what a fuck, that bitch from South Africa. She's a good looking girl.
Well, yeah, but what's her position on position?
I don't know. she got a bunch of people angry not a couple years ago. She's from South Africa, and they asked her why she left, and she said, well, there's no future for white people in South Africa, and they were all upset that she would say that she was implying that the South African nigger government wasn't fair to white people.
Well, so, the truth hurts. Now, don't get me off of this deal, because Dean, you notice how when Dean gives a speech and how he puts his heart into the speech, they make him look like an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, well, no, that's the way politics should be.
Oh, yeah.
And Gore, for the first time in history, gave an impassioned speech, and they were laughing, making fun of him.
Yeah.
Why those bastards, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Who's that Sean Hannity on television? That commentator?
Oh, yeah.
What do they call him? Fascist Hannity or something? I'm telling you, that guy drives me up the wall.
Hmm.
He makes fun of everybody that wasn't born with a silver spoon in their mouth. I got an article in front of me that says, the biggest burdens of war are shouldered by small town USA. In other words, most of the guys that are dying over there and serving over there in Iraq come from small towns.
Yeah.
And most of them are white. Yeah, there's some blacks. Yeah, there's some others. But it's primarily white guys. Even shows their pictures here. Young white guys come from these small towns.
Yeah.
So they're, it's like these people, it'd be like the time machine giving up their kids to the warlocks. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the churches and everybody just heard these young whites, you know, of course, the white young guys. You know, they want to be macho, and they see this shit on TV, and they've watched Sylvester Stallone, and they've watched, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they've seen these movies, and they want to do all that.
You know, a lot of it, too, small towns, is these little kids, they go to the church, and these churches jack them up about God and the American way, and a lot of it is the church influencing them to go do their duty for country and God, to go in there and fight.
Yeah, of course, because God's on their side.
Well, I remember, like, during the Vietnam War, that was the big thing. All these guys, instead of going to, you know, Canada, a lot of them, they'd go to church and get a belly full of Jesus, and they'd get convinced that it was God's will for them to go and fight for their country, so they'd go over there and get themselves killed.
Wow. Hey, do you hear what the big issue in L.A. is?
Niggers.
They want to take the cross off the city
seal.
Oh, yeah. And guess who is the champion of the Christians?
Who?
Prager, the Jew.
Jew talk show guy.
He was down there leading all these Christians against these liberals and the ACLU that want to take that cross off the crest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a ho-hum story, you know. And so anyhow, he's on the radio blowing off about how much the Jews are supporting the Christians and all this kind of
crap. Yeah.
But yet it's usually mostly the Jews that are on the other side.
Yeah.
So they're running both sides of the street.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's smart.
Isn't that smart?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? Are you going down there to support the Christians? They invited the pagans.
Is the flaming cross on there?
No flaming cross.
They invited the pagans to support them.
Yeah, everybody said, atheists, pagans, everybody come down here.
I didn't hear that.
And to keep the cross on the crest. But
what
I heard
the fuck
on
would a pagan go down there?
Well, I heard on the Bill Handel show this morning that he said, the pagans are not, they're a non-issue. There's hardly any of them around. Well, there were several guys called in and gave him hell. The pagans, we're everywhere, man, we're everywhere. You know, so they had quite an argument about that, man. Look, get your subscriptions in. We're putting the July paper together, right?
Yeah.
And we need money, man.
Yeah.
Go into your mama and your grandpa's bedroom and find their billfold. Take as much money out as you can, put an envelope, and send it to us, right?
Yeah, even though you're a 40-year-old man living with mom.
Well, hell, that's not abnormal nowadays. And put it in that envelope and send it to old Terrible Tommy, but make it out to John Metzger, because you know what? If you give me money, I might be tempted to go down there and grab David Duke and go gambling or something, huh?
Yeah, and send send your dad's Playboys to Dr. Kaldenberg.
Hey, did you know, you hear the latest unconfirmed allegation?
About who?
David Duke. Some gal sent him a love letter from the audience, and he was hooking up with her at the meeting. Ah, that's okay. He's not married. But the other allegation was a couple of the guys inadvertently stumbled into his room, and he had a skank in there giving him a hand job. He did. Yeah, I believe the guy who told me that, because I don't think he would. But anyhow, it's an allegation until proven true.
Yeah.
Okay. How come you didn't get excited about that?
Well, I thought you were going to say like a guy or something, like a
guy, yeah,
a guy, well, or a sheep or something.
Well, that must have been the next night. Hey, you know, down at Haiti and the Dominican Republic, they're flooding all over the damn place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess that iceberg is melting up there at the North Pole.
Goddamn right.
2,000 feared dead in Haiti and Dominican flooding.
Why are they feared?
Too bad it's not 2 million. And the guy sent this to me. He's got it written down here. The crocodiles are very happy. Do they have crocodiles in Haiti?
I'm not sure.
I think they got alligator. Crocodiles are in Africa, I think. You know, like, yeah. And, oh, guess what? The Marines went down to help them out.
Uh-huh.
You know, what the hell we got Marines for? They can't take care of the border,
mm-hmm.
You know? And they sent them over to Iraq, screwing with those people. So this, now they send them, and they need men over to Iraq, they say, but they're sending the Marines down there to Haiti to help all these niggeroos.
Mm-hmm.
Since arriving, the Marines have cleared garbage. We got U.S. Marines, we're paying, dumping the garbage for niggers in Haiti.
Some of it goes back to the 1700s.
Oh, man. Furbishing the schools. They donated notebooks and pencils and played soccer with street gangs.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's nice.
Said here that the U.S. troops have already airlifted 100,000 pounds of food and water. What the fuck is this all about, man?
Securing the New World Order.
It becomes more insane all the time, man. All the time. Hey, do you know that one out of every 75 men in this country is in prison?
Oh, yeah.
One in 75. That's a pretty high percentage.
I think among blacks it's one in seven, isn't it?
Well, probably. Yeah, probably. But that's pretty eye-opening. Hey, let's talk about D-Day. You know, I get sick and tired of all these veterans. They pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they walk around like they're, you know, this and that. Yeah. Well, the guys who actually died, they wouldn't be walking around like that if they came back to life. They'd say this is a bunch of horseshit.
Mm-hmm.
I just fought because I was trying to save my ass, or maybe my ass and my buddy, you know, that I liked and like that. They weren't thinking about the country when they were dying, taking that last breath. But, you know, 85% of the people in the military are not in combat.
Mm-hmm.
They're in support groups, and they have a ball.
Yeah.
I was in the Army. Boy, we screwed around more than ever in civilian life.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous to hear these guys talking at a bar or something about all the World War II veterans and everybody stroking them. Who was it screwed the white race in this country?
Yeah.
Not only did they go to war and screw us, but then they died like mad over there. Then they come back and give us civil rights movement.
Oh, yeah.
And vote against racist every
time. Oh, well that's what World War II did, because it was, quote-unquote, a war to stop fascism and nationalism and hate and stuff. So they go over there, and then they get indoctrinated in the army how evil nationalism is, and they come over here, and they basically started the liberalism of the 50s and the 60s and all the way up. So, yeah, you know, the Frank Sinatra generation really fucked things up.
I was in a restaurant one time, and there were two guys there with their wives, and it was a resort place, and they were bragging about how they flew B-17s over Germany and blasted all these people, and they were making such a... I almost went over and slapped the shit out of the guy. In fact, the more I hear that, the more I'm tempted just to walk over and say, well, you're a son of a bitch, you're a war criminal, you know, dropping bombs on hundreds, maybe thousands of women and children, and over there in Iraq doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a hero to me.
No.
I mean, he may have had to do his duty. He may have been said, you do this or you're going to be court-martialed.
Mm-hmm.
But to brag about it,
or even
as far as I'm concerned, dropping the atomic bombs on the Japanese population, I don't think it's a good way to run a race, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this D-Day, you know, they lost 700 American troops in that practicing for D-Day.
Oh, really?
Over on the shores of England.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess the German submarines come up and saw them and shot the shit out of them.
Huh.
But there were, you know, there were over 14,000 men, women, and children died in that area of D-Day, back from the beaches, the civilian population.
Oh, really?
Because we were just, our government, I don't say we, were bombing the shit out of everybody.
Yeah. All the French people.
14,000 civilians died, you know. So, anyhow, I every time I see all this, we love war, it makes me sick at my, you know, well, like the general said, war is a racket, but they don't seem to catch on. And, we had a guy here in Chicago who wants to make a a lasting Holocaust tribute, some nerd who wants to build a Holocaust monument out there in Chicago or someplace. Wait a minute, let me see what this is. Oh, yeah, this American wants to go over to Melrichstadt in Germany, his little town, you know, mm-hmm. where there's no Jews at all, and he's going to build a monument to the Jews.
Oh, is he?
I mean, what the hell? They should, you know, if he came over to that town, what they do is should shoot the son of a bitch, you know?
No, they won't.
You know? They won't, no, because, you know, the general public, they're always cowards. You know,
what gets me is it doesn't give anybody the idea that it's obscene that all these people that Stalin killed and Mao killed and Pol Pot killed and Lenin killed and Trotsky killed, and nobody gives a flying fuck about them.
Oh, no, know? No. I see here, too, an ex-FBI biologist admits faking DNA data.
Oh.
I wonder how much other evidence the FBI is faking.
Yeah, and,
you know?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, one in a million will actually admit what they do.
I need to find out when Matt Hill's going to be sentenced, you know. Mm. I haven't heard a damn word, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the minute he was convicted, everybody seemed to shut up.
Yeah.
I wish some of his...
Looking for somebody else to entertain him.
I wish some of his followers would let me know what the hell's going on. Boy, I'll tell you, you know, it's a, you wonder you can get anybody to fight for the white race, because the minute they get capped, everybody heads the other way, you know.
People are cowards.
Well, we had a doctor up there in Seattle, said dozens of women have sued a gynecologist saying he performed unnecessary and painful surgeries, molested them, and in some cases raped them in the exam room. Okay, this guy's name is Charles Momon. He's a big nigger. Now, why did they go to the guy in the first place?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so here they caught him fondling their breasts and genitals and frequently penetrating them with a vaginal ultrasound probe that neo-gynecologists rarely use. Now, what the hell's with these white women?
Oh, yeah.
I guess they deserve what they permit.
Oh, did you hear who died today?
Who died today?
Ray Charles.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, I liked him in Blues Brothers.
Yeah, he was good in Blues Brothers.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, What I Say, I sort of liked that song. There was a couple of songs.
Yeah.
And Georgia, he did a good
Georgia
job on
good,
Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's a black man, but he, some of the music he did I thought was pretty good.
Yeah,
well, he helped the heroin dealers a lot, because
he
was on heroin all most of his life, I guess.
Yeah, I guess he brought a lot of economy to the black community.
Yeah.
You know, I was reading that, you know, this European Union is going to have a vote, their first vote.
Yeah,
and they're afraid that out of the 350 million people who are eligible to vote, that 175 of them are going to boycott the elections.
Cool. Cool.
So, they think that the Brits, it's going to be like a big no vote on it.
Oh man. Well, I got a new book here, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hitler's Death, Munich, October 23rd, 1954.
Ooh.
It just came out. It's from a guy in Canada who wrote this book. And I haven't read it yet, but there you go. So he didn't take off in a flying saucer. He didn't die in the bunker. He died in Munich, October 23rd, 1954.
Actually, last year, me, Elvis, Hitler got in a time machine. We went back to the Neanderthal age and got ourselves some caveman pussy.
No shit.
We were cruising for caveman pussy.
No shit.
Hitler and Elvis are still alive.
I'll tell you. I mean, you know, this is very interesting news. It says Hitler's post-war life, the quiet, brutal truth.
Whoa, that is quiet and brutal.
Yeah, and I wonder.
It's quiet, but why is it brutal?
I think he must have run a bar down there, you know,
in
54. Well, wait a minute. I went over there in 57. I missed him.
Whoa,
damn.
For 3 years.
Nobody told me. Well, you know, in September 2003, they had a big Ian Stewart tribute.
And
a big rally up by Riverside. Actually, it was in Paris.
California?
Yeah, Paris, California. And now, through Mike Murray up in Riverside, he's put together a 2-CD piece on this memorial concert. He calls The Gathering of the Gods.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, actually, it's on DVD because there's video with it and a whole bit. And old Terrible Tommy spoke at that, too.
Oh.
In fact,
it's two DVDs?
Two DVDs, and they got the Gady Girls, you know, the two twins that sing.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, the Lynx and Lamb,
mm-hmm.
They were there. And a whole bunch of bands, and then there was several speakers and a whole bit. And that's where the BBC came over, and they videoed some of it. Boy, did that piss off the BBC,
cause
the way we talked about the Jews and things. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And, I'm pretty sure my speech is on there, and got my picture on the back. See that? Bald-headed boy
that's
there?
That's an ugly fucker.
You see with that, the Jolly Roger sign there? Boy, that's sexy, man. Yeah. And so anyhow, I don't know now, Murray Productions, I guess they call it, and Murray something Productions, and... Well, anyhow, somebody's going to be advertised. I don't have them for sale myself, but...
Has he got a website or anything?
There's a White Heat Productions. Uh-huh. They may be selling it, so I think that's Bash something.
Well, actually, they could probably just... The Gathering of the Gods, if they just put it in the search engine, put it around quotes around it, they could find
probably.
Whoever's selling it.
Yeah, and maybe National Alliance is selling it. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, well, that's good. Anything else you got? What do we got here, man? Come on, there's all kinds of exciting things happening.
That's true.
Did you get married?
No.
Did you get lucky?
No.
Well, what the hell? I told you. You know, you said you rented a car.
Yeah.
And I said, did you rent a convertible? You said, no. I told you to rent a convertible. If you want to get snatched, you got to have a convertible.
That's probably true.
You could have gone to Bakersfield and had them babies eaten out of your hand.
That's probably true.
Next time I'll go with you and show you how. We'll go down to Buck Owens.
Well, if I want to go to Bakersfield, I need to have a trailer. Back of my car. I mean, the girls will be like trailers.
And maybe a mattress on
That's
top.
That's true.
Yeah, cool. Now, I had some young guys ask me to give them a plug here, so I'm going to give them a plug. And their webmaster at norcalarianvolk.org or www.norcalarianvolk.org. So there I did. Now, they wanted me to link. Now, a lot of people wonder why I don't link on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's for obvious reasons. You know, they've got the law. They can come down on you. And what's it called? The RICO.
Mm-hmm.
If you're all linked together, it may not be the damning piece of evidence. But if you get drug into court because of what somebody else did, it's sort of like a ship without any watertight doors between the compartments. And they can nail your ass on RICO as corrupt practices and ongoing criminal activity.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't recommend linking. Do you link your webpage?
I'm linked to everybody under the sun.
Well, then you're going to get screwed by everybody
under
the sun. But anyhow, I don't do it because I'm afraid to. But why should I... lay myself open for what some other nerd does, you know? And why should they be responsible for what I say? Because I say some pretty radical shit, you know? So I say, you know, you can talk about and say the guy's got a good website and like that, but linking, I don't think that's a good idea at this time. Now, I know all the right wing are going to say, oh, well, as long as you're peaceful and you're nonviolent, it's okay. You know what that means.
Oh, yeah.
That's how stupid they are. Okay. Well, Dr. Kaldeberg, we're back in the saddle again, as old Gene Ardery used to say. I couldn't stand that bastard.
I like him.
Oh, God. You know, he used to have a pot gut and ride on that, Strawberry was his horse? And that horse was bow-legged from holding his ass up.
Wasn't it Champion? Champion.
Maybe it was Champion, but and then he'd sit on that damn horse and play a guitar. No good cowboy sit on a horse and play the guitar. I'll bet you can't find in the whole history of cowboyism cowboys that went around playing guitar on a horse.
Oh, yeah, kidding.
They played it around the campfire. Yeah. They played a harmonica. I bet more of them played a harmonica than a guitar.
Yeah.
You know, that's hell harder than hell. You're out there living off the land almost, and you got to haul a guitar around.
Yeah, guitar is more for settlers and covered wagons.
Yeah,
than
man.
A guy on a horse
it's a wonder he didn't have a damn pipe organ on the damn horse, you know.
You'd smack the guitar real easy, you know.
Well, anyhow, that's it for this week, and tune in for the next show, and Dr. Kaldeberg will share with you some more of his truth.
Absolutely.
And how's Odin doing?
Pretty cool.
Have you talked to him lately?
Not for a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay. Well, let me know when he calls you.
All right.
Okay, that's it.
He calls Collect usually.
All right. At the sound of the tone, this is Terrible Tommy, and his show is not over, but we're going to play you one song.
Cool.
Goodbye. P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088.
Riding north on Interstate 75, with a nervous fading beauty sitting by his side, and a pistol that he used to pave the way down the long black stretches of a dark highway. Gray bought his future with a pain.
robbed a liquor store and left the clerk for dead. That kid should have put the money in a sack, but he didn't, and now there ain't no turning back. He's a desperate rider, he's a Jesse James. The best that he can hope for is a household name. There ain't nobody that a man can trust when all his headlines read notorious. East Road with the lights off to avoid the roadblock. Rick killed the motor at the county line. Changed his Tennessee place to a lost tag sign. Eva never asked what the boy had done, but she said she'd be his hostage if he needed one. Her mama raised her to be loyal and true, and she figured that's the least that she could do. She was lost and lonely. Reluctant Bonnie to a poor man's back. It ain't too easy when the man you love has got a reputation that's notorious. It ain't too easy when the man you love has got a reputation that's notorious. Like hell and dog. Rick popped that Firebird into overdrive, swore he'd never let them take him alive. He was a desperate rider, he was Jesse James. The best he'd ever hoped for was a household name. The morning papers didn't say too much, but his obituary read